This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is South Carolina Republican Congressman Joe Wilson, Republican representing the Palmetto State's 2nd Congressional District. He's a member of both the House Armed Services and House Foreign Affairs Committees. He's also just returned from a congressional delegation to the Middle East, and that's where we want to spend the bulk of our time in the next few minutes here, as obviously several nations in that region either have undergone or are undergoing a severe amount of turmoil, which could be good or could be bad for United States interests in the region, depending on the country. And Congressman, thanks so much for being with us.
Well, Greg, it's great to be with you, and indeed you're so correct and ahead of the curve. It could be good, could be bad.
I guess it really does depend on what country we're talking about. Let's start with the one that's been in the headlines the most in the last couple of weeks, and that's Libya. What we saw and continue to see are the rebels there controlling a good part of the eastern portion of the country. Colonel Gaddafi hunkering down, promising to fight till the last drop of blood, and fighting back in some cities in the last couple of days here. The U.S. position on this has gotten stronger in the last few days, but what's your sense on what the right U.S. posture is as we are now officially calling for Gaddafi to step down?
Well, to me, from the beginning, this would be good. We know that the Gaddafi regime has been authoritarian. It has certainly persecuted the people of Libya. We should have been working all along to encourage at least a peaceful change in government. And sadly, the current administration has shown weakness in the face of the strength of the people of Libya.
What is the right thing for us to do? What's going too far in terms of, you know, helping this rebellion? No-fly zones have been suggested. What's going far enough, and what's going too far?
Well, I support the proposals of Congresswoman Eliana Ross Leighton, who is the chairperson of the Foreign Affairs Committee. She has just been a real leader, pointing out that we need to freeze the assets. We need to provide that diplomats lose their diplomatic recognition. There are many ways that we can forcefully speak out in favor of change in Libya.
What can the U.S. do diplomatically, given where Gaddafi is right now and his position to hunker down? Obviously, economic sanctions, suspension of arms sales, those sorts of things can have some effect, but is there anything we can do diplomatically that will actually get him to stop?
It really is a sad commentary. We know he has paid mercenaries. That's who is fighting the people of Libya. And what we need is truly an inspiration from the United States, and the president should be encouraging peaceful change. Sadly, in this case, it will be taking courage to change. But we've seen this weakness before. And that is, the president sat back when the people of Iran were demonstrating for change, which is so needed, because Iran truly is a threat to the existence of Israel. And clearly, they're developing a missile capability with the nuclear capability to be a direct threat to the people of the United States.
Congressman, as I mentioned before, the president took a while to get to the point where he called for Gaddafi to step down and to use bolder and more clear language on condemning what we've seen in Libya. I've got to tell you, you're also the first Republican who's agreed to talk to me about this in a public way. What, if you sense this, why do you think there's a reluctance among our national leaders to get real detailed about this and the delay we saw in delivering a very clear message?
Well, I can't imagine, Greg, because truly, the situation of Libya is very clear. The situation, which is so sad, of the great country of Iran is so clear. There are different conflicting points of view, legitimate, say, as to the change in government, say, in Egypt. Certainly the threat to our ally in the Persian Gulf, Bahrain. And I was in Bahrain last week, and I know, and I have faith that the Crown Prince there will be meeting with the opposition, working to include persons in their government. They already have the opposition in the government. And so it's a step-by-step process of including the opposition, truly having democratic reforms.
We're talking with South Carolina Congressman Joe Wilson. And Congressman, your visit to Bahrain brings up an interesting question, because as we said at the beginning, some of these changes could be good, some could be bad for the United States. Most of these countries certainly could improve the freedoms they afford to their people and the human rights situations, but some of them are considered by many to be the best situation we might find in some of these countries. Bahrain would probably be on that list. A lot of people I know certainly thought Egypt with Mubarak is perhaps better than what we might end up with there. Time will tell, of course. So what's the best way to navigate this when unrest in some countries could be beneficial to our national security and others could hamper it?
Well, I'm really pleased. We have members of Congress like Chairman David Dreyer, who is working with the Democracy Assistance Commission to promote the education of persons on working in a democracy. We've got initiatives that could be very positive to help, and we need to counteract. We know that we have Iranian influence, which is very destructive in Iraq. I was just back from Iraq and Afghanistan. The Iranians are very involved with propaganda in Afghanistan. We need to counteract the propaganda.
You mentioned also, sir, that you are in Iraq and Afghanistan as part of your congressional delegation. Those have not received a tremendous amount of media attention, although obviously we've been increasing our troop numbers in Afghanistan, and we've officially transferred security authority to the Iraqis with the intention of having our forces completely out by the end of the year. Briefly explain how you see our situations in those two theaters.
Well, Greg, again, you're correct. We haven't heard much because it's good news. In Iraq, I had two sons serve there, so I have a personal interest, and I'm so appreciative of the service members of the National Guard of South Carolina who are currently serving in Iraq. But this has truly turned the lead over to the Iraqis. As proof of this, they had demonstrations in Iraq also in this period of instability, but they weren't to overturn the government. It was a legitimate criticism of providing services, whether it be clean water or electricity. So that shows encouragement. Then we get to Afghanistan, and when the president's right, I want to point it out, his agreement to surge our troops by an additional 30,000 in Afghanistan is having the same effect of the surge in Iraq. It will lead to success. And in the last year, we've had 30,000 more American troops, but this has encouraged 70,000 more Afghan police and army personnel to be recruited, be trained, and they are being very effective, working side by side. Often, the Afghani police and army units are in the lead, going after the Taliban and al-Qaeda networks.
Two quick questions before we let you go. Number one, we just had an embed reporter who's been in Afghanistan many times, just wrote a book. His name is Bing West. You may know him. And he says he's not as impressed with the Afghan security forces as he was with what finally happened in Iraq. Is it just a matter of time, in your opinion? And first of all, I guess, do you share that opinion?
Well, first of all, I have great respect for Mr. West. But there is a difference. Iraq at one time was a very modern country, a very advanced, very educated country. Sadly, Afghanistan has always been one of the poorest countries on earth, 86% illiteracy. And so trying to develop a military and police, and in fact, we now are working very hard, and we're being successful in increasing to a third grade level, the level of literacy, so that we can actually have police and Afghan army units that will be able to take the lead. And so we're beginning from zero in Afghanistan.
Finally, sir, the deadline, or at least the beginning of the withdrawal of U.S. troops, as announced by the president a little over a year ago, is just a few months away. What's your sense from talking to our military leaders there, as well as the work you've done in your committee, about whether we see that as a hard and fast deadline and whatever's happening on the ground, folks will start coming out, or whether the indications we've heard from General Petraeus and Secretary Gates is that that is more of a suggestion or a guideline rather than a hard and fast rule?
It's really, we're so fortunate to have General David Petraeus leading our troops, Ambassador Carl Eikenberry as the ambassador. They are providing the on-the-ground conditions to the president, and I have faith that they know how important it is that we succeed in Afghanistan. Otherwise, it will continue to be a safe haven for terrorists to attack American families at home. We know that, and so I believe that the troop level will be truly based on conditions.
Congressman, unfortunately, our time is up. Thank you, sir, very much for being with us today.
Well, Greg, thank you. And again, I appreciate so much you raising these hugely important issues to the people of our country.
Thank you, sir. Republican South Carolina Congressman Joe Wilson represents his state's 2nd Congressional District, member of both the House Armed Services and Foreign Affairs Committees. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.